As we turn to God's word, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would instruct us and teach us by your word. Expose the darkness of the world and any darkness in our hearts, that we may recognize the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the offer of salvation that you make through him, that any who should call upon his name receive forgiveness and eternal life. Help us to understand not only these things, but their value and how important they are for each one of us, because they concern our souls. And they also, indeed, as we think of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, concern our bodies too. For Christ has promised that all who trust in him shall be raised into eternal life, just as he was raised after 3 days, and may enter into your kingdom of glory, where there is a place forever. And the person who is wise makes good decisions, lives a balanced life, and has a healthy life. But then there is a life of folly, the life which is spoken of here as also a kind of madness, recklessness, wastefulness, throwing it all away, excess. Now, wisdom and folly can be found in different degrees. But when the preacher speaks of folly here, he is also discerning in it a kind of a madness in behavior. Behavior for which there is no rationale. Behavior which doesn't seem to make any sense. But notice again that he is not speaking here only as a commentator, but he is also speaking from experience, that he devoted himself to that way of life also, to folly, to throwing it all away, to recklessness and excess. Now, having done that, having lived wisely and also having lived foolishly, he stands back and asks the question, how do these two compare? How does the wise life compare to the foolish life? Well, he says one is better than the other. Perhaps one will give a longer life. Perhaps one will be more prosperous. Perhaps one will gain more by living wisely. One he speaks of as like being in the light. And in the light you can perceive more. You can see what is around you. And perhaps then if you can see more of what is around you, then you can also accomplish more too. As light is better than the darkness, so wisdom is better than folly. That's what he says in verse 13. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. You can't see in the darkness, but you can see in the light. In the darkness, you can have no idea of what is around you. And a fall was only a matter of time away. In light, though, you can see where you're going and what you're doing. You can see what pitfalls there are and what you need to avoid and what you need to do. He says wisdom is like having eyes in the head. Verse 14. The wise person has his eyes in his head. When your eyes are in your head, you have some vision. If you don't have eyes in your head, then you can't see. You have no vision. One way seems to have a future, the other way doesn't have a future. So then he says, one way is better than the other. The life of wisdom is better than the life of folly. But then there is a surprising end. There is a surprising end. Just when it seems that he is going to say, well, I've weighed it up and wisdom is better than folly, so live a wise life. Just when it seems as though he is going to say that, he comes to this deeply shocking conclusion that in the end, under the sun, it makes no difference. In the end, under the sun, it makes no difference whether one lives wisely or foolishly. When he considers the bigger picture, he comes to the conclusion that there is no substantial, there is no great difference between the two. Now, why is that? How is that? How could he come to that conclusion? We read why in verse 14. Yet I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. The end is the same. The end is the same. For the wise man and for the foolish man. Both die and both are forgotten. For of the wise, verse 16, as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come all will have been long forgotten. If the end is the same, then what difference does it make? How you live. That's what Gaelith is saying. What is the point? Verse 15, he says, what happens to the fool will happen to me too. So why have I lived wisely? Look at what he says back in chapter 1 and verse 13. That he had applied himself to this way of living. Remember, if you were here when we spoke of this verse, and we remembered that Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, but in gaining his wisdom, it was something that he worked hard for. He applied himself to this. He devoted himself to gaining wisdom. And now he is asking himself why. Why? What is the point in being wise if death comes to me too? He asks, why have I set my heart on being something that in the end makes no difference? Why be wise when the wise man dies along with the fool? Now, secularism promotes life under the sun. But in doing so, it promotes meaninglessness. And it promotes emptiness. It promotes futility and renders life pointless, because it's life under the sun. And life under the sun only has one end, and that is death. Perhaps this is an unintentional consequence of secularism, but it is a consequence nonetheless. If all die, then what difference does it make whether I live wisely or not? And I think many people think this today. They have come to the conclusion that their lives have little or no meaning, that they have no purpose, and see little point in life. And it's largely because that's the consequence, the implication of the messages the world gives about life. Your life is only what you have in this world. Death is coming to you. There is nothing for you to set your heart on afterwards. And many see little point in life. What's the point when you're going to die anyway? What difference does it make if I live wisely or foolishly, morally or immorally? And many come to the conclusion it doesn't make any difference, because we'll all die anyway. The point to notice here is that Koheleth agrees with that. That is what life under the sun is like. If you only live and you only have in your mind what is seen and what is on the earth, and live in a materialistic fashion, then in the end it doesn't make any difference how a person lives, at least in their mind. Under the sun there is no point, and in the end, like Koheleth says in verse 17, they hate life. That's a conclusion of life under the sun, life without God, life without the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told how we are to live by people such as the secularists, and you know that life under the sun is the way to live, even though that renders emptiness and meaninglessness in life. Listen to the words that we sang just a short time ago. There is no one who is able to redeem a soul from death. None can pay to God the ransom to prolong another's breath. So we're told this is the latest, this is the best way, this is the way that we should live, by people who are unable to add one breath to our lives and cannot sustain us for one moment longer than what God gives to us. Tonight, I want to say to you that it is not earthly wisdom which is the cure to this, but it is the gospel which is the cure. It is the word of God which saves us from this life under the sun. Under the sun, there is no answer to this problem of death. No one can resolve it. No one can add to our lives. But in the gospel, we learn that God does resolve it in his Son, Jesus Christ. That he addresses this very thing which Koheleth raises, the meaninglessness of life under the sun. This is why I think it is so important for us to learn that the message of the gospel and the message of God in his word is not do better. And it is not be more moral. That's not the message that God gives us in his word. Trying harder, doing better, being more moral is earthly wisdom. And in the end, whether you are wise in earthly things or foolish, all will die. So what we need is something else. Not pull up your bootstraps, but rather we need the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is this. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. You need to be given a new life from God. A new life that cannot be extinguished. A new life that is eternal. You must be born again. No doubt, a more moral life or self-improvement or self-help has some kind of value, but only the kind of value that Koheleth says a wise life has more than a foolish life. And both of those ways are trumped by death. The wise man dies as the fool dies. But through Jesus Christ, God offers new life, life that does not end. This life, which is life not under the sun in the sky, but life under the Son of God. Life under the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who has life to offer to us and to freely give. By believing in him, his death and resurrection, this is what God calls us to do. And he says that whoever does this shall be saved. Whoever believes in his Son, Jesus Christ, shall be saved from death and receive eternal life. The world wants to avoid death. We want to do that too. None of us likes to think of it. It's a horrible thing. But God also in his word draws our attention to it by drawing our attention to the death of his Son. He writes of the death of his Son in his word. And Jesus also spoke of his own death. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. This, the disciples said, in this he was speaking of his death which was to come. Now why would God not shy away from death? Why is it that he would give his Son to death? And why is it then he would write about it in his word? It is so that we would receive from God the gift of eternal life. For Christ has the victory in his death. He conquers over the enemy. He wins the victory over death. He defeats death. He destroys it. He rises never to die again. And when he is lifted up from the earth, he will draw all people to himself. That is to say that in his death, Jesus was bringing his people to himself. For it is in the death of Christ that we find forgiveness for our sins. It is in his death that we are accepted by God. This is how God draws people to himself and saves us from the futility of our old lives. Life under the sun, where it all seems meaningless and pointless because we all die anyway. So then, it is not the wise life that we need, rather than the foolish life. No, what we need is Christ's life. His life. His life where there is no end. His life which has the victory. What we need is Jesus. For the one who is wise in earthly terms has the same end as the one who is foolish. But the one who has Christ lives forever. Life without God does not lead to a happy life. It can't, because its end is death. But life with Christ reverses death. It promises eternal life. And with that life, there's hope, there's purpose, there's meaning. Because there is reconciliation to God, we are restored to God, and we can have peace with him. Whereas before, there was none. Only when there is a reversal of death, then will we find any lasting meaning. And that reversal was found in Jesus Christ. He is the one who has victory over death. And he is the one who is freely offered to you to be your Savior this day and forever. Amen.